Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Lunch Date, a show dedicated to social wellness, where we encourage taking an active part in improving relationships by discussing healthy communication, setting boundaries, the importance of positive social interaction, and so much more as it relates to relationships, friendships, and those things closest to our hearts. So let me be your Tuesday afternoon lunch date.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lunch Date. I'm Sharia Farmer, your host. I'm happy to be here on this rainy Tuesday here in the Philadelphia area. So I'm excited today to talk about a few different things, but one of my favorite things to do is to support people and love people and to make them feel good about themselves in the world that we live in. So today I'm going to talk about a few things, but one of the things that we'll talk about later as our main topic is actually supporting your partner. And when I say partner, for myself, it's my husband, but for others, it could be a friend, it could be a number of different roles or titles that we have in terms of a relationship. And I think some of the things that I'm going to share are specific to intimate relationships, but other things can be important for any part or any type of relationship that you're in. Still going to do our normal rundown of the show with communication tips, as well as some self-love and taking care of yourself within any healthy relationship. It's always a priority that you have to take serious in order to have healthy relationships. So today's show is going to have those main topics. I do still want everyone to, to join in when you can or if you can, because I know this is a month's time and we're probably running around or doing a number of different things, but I want you guys to feel free to call in, and the call-in number is 347-850-1154, or if you don't have the opportunity to call in and you have some feedback and or questions, you can also, on Twitter, hashtag RSLunchDate. And I'll be checking throughout the show as well as checking throughout the week to see if anybody has any questions or has anything that they want to contribute to the topic. So with that being said, I want to get right into today's communication tip. So I was trying to think of a tip that I hadn't kind of talked about, because with communication, a lot of it comes down to how we listen and also how we share, and making sure that we are maintaining a certain kindness or a certain type of language that everyone, whoever you're communicating with can understand. So I wanted to talk about just the reality of interrupting and or cutting someone off. So there are times when you are so in sync with a person that you sometimes will cut them mid-sentence and just basically complete their sentence for them, or talk over them because you know exactly what they're going to say, or you feel you know exactly what to say, what they're going to say. But the importance is not so much that you know, but to give them the opportunity to express themselves and to not feel powered by, or having the person feel like they have less power or disempowered by you cutting them off or taking that moment from them that they were trying to communicate. So this coming from a person who actually does this herself, who naturally will listen and know what someone's going to say and kind of cut them off, because of my own upbringing where, and I'm sure some of the other Southern-based families understand this, where we kind of all talk at the same time and we're all talking and one person is saying something and the other person is saying something, but we all kind of understand or hear, and we can't make the assumption that everyone communicates in that way, or that everyone will feel respected when they're communicating if we cut them off or if we complete their sentence. So although this can be or seem like this romantic or cute thing, it's cute up until it's not. What I mean by that is cute up until it bothers the person or puts the person into the position that they feel that they're not being heard, So be mindful of not cutting someone off, not interrupting or trying to match or give them their next statement or thought, because it really becomes important for them to feel heard if they're communicating. So I really want people to remember that although we might be in sync, we might be in a relationship where we can finish each other's sentences at times, we have to remember that this can be very disempowering, and that it also may leave the person feeling unheard. So in order to make sure that a person feels heard or to respect that the person has a right to whatever they're feeling, it's good for us to not, as much as possible, people, cut people off and or interrupt their sentences. So I'm going to try my best this week to work on this one, because I am a guilty party here. And although I apologize 101 times because me to do it, I do really feel that it's important that the other person that you're communicating with feels heard, and feels heard in a way that is presenting empowerment for them and you within the conversation. All right, so that's our tips for today in terms of communication. No more cutting people off, people. I wish I could do that tip for the road as I was coming here today. It was smooth. So it's raining, people. You don't have to drive 100 miles an hour. So that being said, let's talk about, well, before we get into the self-love tip specifically, which is going to really be about self-esteem today, I really want us to remember that because this is a new show, I'm still trying to get everyone involved and have interaction. I know that you guys were used to the show being at a different time and being in the evening when it came to my schedule with Carol and I doing random talk. However, I do wish that you guys give this show an opportunity to blossom by giving us a call, calling in, supporting the show, and if not, tweeting us on at hashtag RSMonthState, or you can actually just hashtag, use it in any social media throughout the week, so I'll sometimes text anyway. All right, so let's talk about self-esteem. Such a huge subject, but I'm going to talk about self-esteem in the sense that I want to talk about the difference between self-confidence and being confident and being arrogant, being very different, and having high self-esteem versus low self-esteem and the importance of it. And although it's a huge topic, the main factor that I want to talk about today is paying attention to your desires and needs within your self-esteem. So knowing that you are the guiding person or force behind what you get out of this life and really getting true happiness out of this life. So before I give examples of that, I just want to talk about self-esteem. So self-esteem is really what it comes down to, is how you feel about yourself. It's how you feel as an individual in terms of your self-worth, your personal values, the things that are important to you in terms of your outlook, emotional well-being, your conduct. It's a lot about who you present to the world, but also who you truly are within inside. And so who we present to the world sometimes may reflect high self-esteem. However, it actually might be signs that you are struggling with self-esteem at all and or may need some areas of improvement because it's arrogance or cockiness versus self-esteem. So it's really important for us to define our self-esteem for ourselves related to our personal value and personal self-worth. So if we thought about it in just those two words, self-worth and value, usually what that means is having a certain level of dignity within yourself, integrity, as well as boundary setting so that other people don't fall and or offend you in a way that could actually hurt or change how you see yourself. And then when it comes to values, it's the things that we believe in, the things that we respect and that guide us. And what I mean by that is when we think about the things that we believe in, it could be your values with family, religion, spirituality, sexuality. It could be your values within a number of different areas. But then how those things help to guide you within those areas is how your self-esteem actually plays out. Right, so when it comes to my self-worth, I might say that if I am a sexual being, it's okay for me to have multiple partners it's okay for me to do things that I won't do with my body. However, my self-worth might indicate that I'm, my self-esteem, how I show this might determine if I'm doing it because I really have healthy self-worth or have a low self-worth, which means that I could be doing it to please men. I could be doing it to please other people, to try to get people to love me. I could be doing it to really feel seen and to be touched or felt in a way that means that I'm important or desired. So I might be expressing myself and saying that I'm a healthy sexual being, but how I'm doing that is based off of really if I have high self-worth or low self-worth. Not saying that I can't do it, but the core reason I'm doing it is where you'll find your self-esteem. So it really becomes important that we understand that for me to talk about the next thing that I'm going to talk about. So being able to understand your self-worth and your values make up your self-esteem. So if that makes sense, the reality of what I wanted to talk about today in terms of self-love is paying attention to your desires and your needs. So all of us consider ourselves, or all of us should have a sense that we are creative in terms of our body, soul, in our mind, and that makes us up. And really, it also creates our wholeness or our sense of happiness within our mind, body, or soul. So you may have heard people say mind, body, or soul, mind, body, or spirit, but the reality is that those three areas make up what we desire for ourselves. So what I thought was when it comes to self-love, we have to listen to each of those areas with the importance of taking care of ourselves. So, for example, we have to listen to our bodies, right? So if your body is unhealthy, out of not taken care of, not if you're not putting in the right foods, if you're not doing the right things to it, you actually can hear your body breaking down or telling you that it's not healthy. So it's really important for us to pay attention to our needs because it does matter that what we put in or do to our bodies will help going to the gym, taking walks, eating right, spending, eating more fruits and vegetables, drinking more water, all are beneficial because even if you are a person who loves junk food 100% all the time, your body is at some point going to tell you, I need healthy things in order to have a healthy life. So it's important that we listen to it so that we can be fulfilled and take care of ourselves. So knowing that part of our paying attention to what our body needs is to really give it healthy things. Also, so our soul, when we think about our soul or spirit, depending on how you look at it, our soul and what we believe in, what we hold dear to ourselves, what we talk about with passion, what passion is inside of us, to the point where we have a sense of desire. So for me, because I'm going to use myself as an example, to feel fulfilled and whole within my spirit and within my soul, I have to make sure that I'm reading the Word, which for me is the Bible, and really getting a chance to spend time with God and having prayer, a really healthy prayer life where I will spend most of the day in some level of prayer by talking to Him or making sure that as I'm processing my day, I'm having a conversation with God about what He sees or knows is best for me. And then also making sure that I'm having that same passion or connection with those people who He has given to me to love, for my family, my friends, my colleagues, the people that I support or support me, making sure that I am feeding those things and feeding others related to how I feel my spirit needs to be felt. And in my mind, I am a true believer that if you take care of your body and your spirit and your mind, you can truly have a healthy life. So things like prayer are really important for me. However, things also like listening to peaceful music, changing the direction I come to work may seem very simple, but giving my mind a challenge, right? Because sometimes we get so used to routines or doing things the exact same way that our mind almost do it automatically. And although that's good in terms of time and getting there, the reality is that your mind desires to be challenged, to be nurtured and taken care of. So making sure that you're doing things that are also looking at how I can change up or have my mind do things to be healthy. So even if you don't change your path to work, you can do things like puzzles on your Facebook or on your phone, but making sure that they are actually not the same things that you're doing all the time, but challenging your brain. Learning new languages for children who might be learning how to ride a bike or doing something new in terms of taking a new class. Doing something that really makes your brain feel like you're actively nurturing it and taking care of it. So really what today's self-love is about is our mind, body, soul. And really when we think about our mind, body, and soul, we think about making sure that each of those three areas are taken care of in a way that says that it's getting what it desires so that you can be full and have a happy life. So with that being said, we're going to actually take a wellness break and guys have a wellness tip for you.
Welcome to our next wellness moment. Today's wellness tip is taking a walk. Some things that are so simple but so refreshing to start a day, to end the evening, to spend time with friends. Something as simple as taking a walk with each other can help do a lot of things to make sure that your emotional health, but also your physical health and wellness is taken care of. So when I say take a walk, this is something that you can consider for an exercise or you consider for leisure and emotional health. So for me, I do this about 3 to 5 times a week where, especially, well, when it's not so cold outside because I'm so not into this heavy snow or weather when it's extremely cold. But when it's not so cold outside, I like to take walks and sometimes very long walks. But I know that it helps me to rejuvenate and it's also improving my actual physical health. So when it comes to wellness, one of the tips for today is take a walk about 20 minutes a day if you can. 30 minutes is even better, but it actually will help you to create such things as physical wellness where you are thinking about your sex drive, your health habits. It decreases things like the risk of breast cancer, diabetes, and also helps with pain control. So even if it's just 20 minutes, go ahead and get out there and take a walk. Everyone be well.
Welcome back to the Lunch Date. Remember, you can interact with me on Twitter right now in terms of the hashtag RSLunchDate. If you hear anything during the show that sparks a question or makes you feel like you want to say something or share something with us, feel free to post on social media with the hashtag RSLunchDate. And or you can actually give me a call here at the show today, which in terms of a call-in number is 347-850-1154. I do look forward to us making this show very interactive because it is about relationships. I love for you guys to call in and or do the hashtag so that way we can really move this show into a more interactive opportunity. All right. I've also... for those of you who are interested in either guest starring or co-hosting with, or guest starring on the show or coming to the show to talk about a subject related to relationships, visit rswellness.org and go under our promotional and station page. You'll actually see a request form where you can actually request to be on the show and tell me what topic you'd like to cover on the show. I'll actually also put it within this and probably the previous show's link, so that way you can also have it within the blog talk page. All right, so let's get into today's topic. As I said, this is one of my favorite things to do in general, so I thought it was really a good idea. So my husband earlier, I was trying to get him to come on the show, people, but he wasn't feeling up to it and was a little tired. So he was telling me that I should do the show about supporting people through the playoffs, the NBA playoffs, which I thought was adorable and cute. But actually, when I thought about the subject, I had to laugh because prior to my husband, I've always loved basketball, and I've always been really into the NBA to the point where I would get the NBA league pass, and I would be watching multiple games into the evening. And when I was dating, I had individuals who struggled with that because although they were glad that I was a quote-unquote female who loved basketball and football and sports in general, they couldn't fathom that that meant that it was going to take up so much of my time, or it was going to be important that I spend a lot of my time watching the sport of the season or whatever season I was in, and specifically basketball, because basketball is a long, has a long season and a lot of games. And then when playoffs time comes, for me, it becomes extremely important that I watch as many games as possible, because between the East or the West, I have different emotions about teams, and that's a whole other story. So anyway, when he mentioned the subject, I felt to myself, I was like, although it's funny in the sense that he was kind of joking, but he knows that for some people, they don't have partners who share the same interests or share the same love of things, that it can be very stressful or very disheartening to have that much time taken away from your normal relationship. And I am thankful to God that although I don't have this concern mostly now because both of us are extremely into basketball, I do understand how it felt to sometimes feel like I had to choose between watching the game and going out on a date. And at the time, because I was single, I usually chose the game because I felt like this is a guarantee. And maybe the person that I was dating, as you know, wasn't, you know, a guarantee in a sense. So anyway, long story short, it's why I chose this subject. And while I also thought it was funny, I also think it's important that we learn that regardless of the season and regardless of what else is going on, that our partners need emotional support. And as they need emotional support, we need to be able to display it in a way that's healthy for both parties and also to make sure that we're shaping our relationship to be as healthy as itself. So although I told my husband I was not going to do the NBA, even though I just did, I guess, I do think it's important that we learn how to or talk about supporting each other and supporting our partners. So the first thing that I thought of, and I think that a lot of us don't realize this in terms of intimate relationships specifically, is that more than sex is important to the actual physical touch of a person when you are actually trying to support them. So often when a person is having a tough day or struggling or not doing well, oftentimes we'll sit or talk with them. But occasionally we do need to just do it so as giving them touch. And what I mean by that is hugging them, holding hands, walking arm in arm, trying to make sure that they feel a connection, because the touch itself has a powerful level of experience for them and also for yourself, because it connects the two of you. And if I'm having a long day, if I'm stressed or not feeling, or actually if I'm just having a long day from having seen clients all day, when I go home, the first thing that I look forward to is a kiss from my husband. And being able to just sometimes either have nothing to say and or watch a show and sit next to him on the couch or cuddle on the couch is extremely important to just end the day, but also to rejuvenate my energy in terms of feeling like, okay, it's over. First of all, the day's over, but this person cares for me. So sometimes recognizing the power and the importance of touch within a relationship and within support becomes extremely important. But the other thing is respecting the person or your partner's feelings. So if you love someone, sometimes we can get lost in what I talked about earlier in terms of cutting people off or even thinking we know what the person is feeling or going to feel. But we have to be willing to or able to respect that your partner is allowed to have different feelings than you. So although earlier today I really wanted my husband to come into the show with me today, realized that he wasn't feeling well. And so although I may have had the desire to have him here, it was more important that he take care of himself or feel better than for me to have him on a show that I can do that I do every week and he can come on at any time. So really understanding that a partner may want to support you or may want to do things with you, but they have a right to whatever they're feeling at the time, And you have to be willing to accept that or be available to talk it out, to talk about what that person's feeling, to understand that we are allowed to have, be disappointed or have a feeling of loss or grief or related to something. And being able to have a safe space within your partnership that really says that I can talk about this with you and know that I'm not being judged and know that I'm feeling cared for because you're listening to my feelings, not telling me what to feel. Then there's simple things like giving gifts. I am not saying that every week you need to buy you don't need to buy a pocketbook or shoes every week. However, there's occasional times when you want to buy little things that will surprise the person that shows them that you know who they are, that you know what they like, that you enjoy seeing them happy, and it actually makes you feel good as well. So, for example, with myself, and I'll use my husband again here, he loves these Sour Patch Kids. Now, I'm not a fan of anything gummy bears, any of that kind of stuff, so I don't think I've ever had one in my house before we actually got married and actually became a partner. When it came down to it, I know that he loves them. When I'm in Walmart and I'm just waiting in line and it's a line that's probably stressful, I actually will sometimes pick up a pack just so he can have them because I know he really enjoys them. And it actually makes me smile when I notice that he may not have touched them, but when he has a need or has a desire to go and get them, they're there. So actually giving small gifts that indicate, I see you, I know who you are, and I want you happy. And that's a way to support a person regardless of the intimacy of the relationship. So even if it's not your spouse or your partner, or even different portions of your life, it's okay to occasionally give small gifts that say, I see you, I know who you are, and I want you happy. Compliments also work. And what I was thinking of the list, I was trying to think about the book, The Love Language, and the different ways that all of us may desire emotional support, and how sometimes one thing is important to one person and another thing is important to the other person. So making sure that you're trying to do different things but match the person that you're doing things for. So if you're a person who needs touch, then making sure you hug and touch them more. If you're a person that needs to be heard or feel heard, making sure that you're letting them talk, letting them get through the process. If you're a person who needs gifts or little things that show that you're being seen or that they acknowledge who you are, then they give gifts. But the same with compliments. So I'm a person who believes that you acknowledge when a person does something well. Besides just saying thank you, because I do think that people have lost the art of thank you, but when someone does you a favor or does something for you, the first thing that you should do or should want to do is to compliment them by saying thank you and showing appreciation in terms of some nice gesture. However, in our relationship, we should do the same in terms of just saying, I appreciate you, I think you're beautiful, I look, you have such beautiful eyes. When we're dating, we have a tendency to make sure people feel good about who they are and telling them how beautiful or sexy they are. And then once you get into this relationship or this long-term relationship, you forget the importance of saying that you are as equally as sexy as the day I met you, and how a compliment like that could make or break a relationship in terms of how that person may think you're seeing them. But also in our friendships, sometimes it's okay to just say, I appreciate you, I look up to you, I believe in you. Giving people compliments and or acknowledging who they are in your life actually makes them feel supported, but also increases their likelihood to support you and know how to support you because they will want to make sure they're doing the same. I'm a true believer in model what you want, right? So I like compliments, I give them. I like gifts, I give them. I like respect, I give it. I like touch, I give it. So I make sure that I give what I also want, but I also do it in a very sincere way to who that person is. Because not all of my friends like the same level of touch. Not all of my friends like the same level of compliments. Not all of my friends like the same level of gifts. but I try to make sure that it's balanced based off of knowing who they are and then knowing what my needs are too in terms of these areas. Being supported also includes being okay with disagreeing. No one or no relationship, and to think that you can't disagree with someone that you love and that you care for is foolish to me. Really, it just requires you to be kind and loving and still be objective within your conversations in terms of respect of who you're having this disagreement with, right? So you're not going to judge or reject your partner just because they have a difference of opinion or they don't feel the same way about something that you feel. So knowing that partnership or being in a relationship, regardless of the type, does not mean that you won't disagree. Of course my husband and I disagree on things. Of course he and I don't see things eye to eye. But we don't disrespect each other and make the other person feel bad for having their opinion or having their view on a subject. Because we're different people. People are going to, regardless of how much they love each other, have different views and opinions. And that's okay. But remember, as I said last week, stay kind and be respectful, because if you want your relationship to work, and regardless of the type, you can't assume that judgment and cruelty is going to be a healthy way to nourish any type of relationship. The other thing that I thought about was people forget to say I love you. Or when they say it in such a routine manner that it starts to become less assuring and less fulfilling as it once was. So being mindful of saying I love you and making sure that the person hears it but sees it as well, right? So you could say you love someone and be absolutely the worst thing in the world for them. But showing them that you love them is a display of the things that we talked about earlier. Doesn't mean that you don't still say it, right? So although you don't want to say it to the point where it no longer has a reassuring and an empowering feeling within your relationship, you also don't want to lose track of them. Say, in my case, my husband and I, we tell each other I love you every day. However, we don't tell each other I love you every moment we're with each other throughout the entire day. So when we may say it, it might be in the midst of us doing something, something happens and it gets said. And or I'm getting ready to go to bed and I really want to, he's probably going to stay up. I want to make sure I tell you I love you before I go to sleep. We say it in different ways, but we show it throughout our entire relationship. However, I know some people who struggle with saying it, and they may show you in multiple ways, and because their partner needs to hear it, all the things that you're doing isn't going to help until you say it as well as show it. So making sure that you balance between the two and understanding the importance for each person is different in terms of how much they hear it or how much they don't hear it. And that can be in any of your relationships. So I tell my friends I love them. I tell my family I love them. I do this because, for me, one of the hardest things in the world for me would be is that if something happened and we didn't talk to each other ever again, would you have known or heard me say I love you? And that's important to me, so I make sure I say it. And in turn, some of the family members who may have struggled with it in the past now say it to me naturally. And so sometimes they'll say it before I even say it, and it actually makes me smile and makes me happy, because although it may not seem like a big deal, it becomes extremely important to me because it meets the need. So knowing who you're saying I love you to and why they're saying it is important. So when I say it, I really mean it. And so in turn, people will naturally say it back. So making sure that you see the importance of hearing it, but also saying it and also showing it. And by God, if you're not going to show it, you might as well not say it. But also if you're going to show it, you should say it soon. Trying to think if I have any other ones that are big on my list of how to support or feel supported in emotional support It's really those not being ignored and not feeling ignored is important within a relationship, and the importance for your partner to feel like their presence matters, that you're not rude to them, you don't discount them, you don't kind of overlook them in the crowd. So when they're in the group, you don't cut them off or make them feel little or make them feel like they're, whatever they're contributing isn't important. You make sure that your partner's presence is important within the two of you, but also within crowds. And I feel like that becomes extremely important when we have struggles of power struggles within our relationships, and we don't realize that no matter the title or the role that you might be within a relationship, so if it's wife and wife, wife and husband, husband and husband, whatever the title or the role might be has nothing to do with who holds the power. Who holds the power really comes into the importance of both of us sharing the presence and the importance of each other. So making sure that in our privacy is that way, but also in public. And then listen. Like, listen to your partner. Usually people will tell you when they feel wounded. Usually people will tell you when they feel hurt and not and unloved. Usually people will tell you that they need more from you. And when we don't listen, we are losing an opportunity to strengthen our relationships. Our relationships on, of course, we have to listen to not just what makes us comfortable, but also what is what's concerning or breaking or wounding our relationships so that we can fix it and be okay with it. The other thing I think is smile. People, like, I don't know whatever happens smiling. When you're smiling for your loved ones, and I say smile, I want to include laugh and joke. To feel supported and to feel loved, it is okay to laugh. So even in my saddest moments, my husband made me laugh. My made me laugh. So my girlfriend, Monica, is hilarious. And whenever I was extremely sad and grieving and really having tough days, she would make me laugh, and I could feel it in my stomach, and I'm forever grateful that I could have that support and said that even in my pain and even in my suffering, you are allowed to smile and love and to laugh, and that we can find some sincere joke behind something and it be okay. And I think that within our partners and within our partnerships and supporting, we have to be okay with smiling and laughing and setting a tone of love and setting a tone that says that even when you're worse, you're still your best for me. And so I hope that list makes sense in terms of emotionally. So if I can try to run through it without getting something, I'm going to say smile and laugh, making sure you set a tone of love. Listen. Don't ignore the person. Say I love you. Trying to remember them all because I did not write them down. It's okay to disagree. You can give gifts. Well, I like gifts, so we all love gifts. Compliment each other. Respect each other and what you're feeling. And then share a little hugs and kissing and touching. And I have yet to do a show on the freedom of your sexuality and the importance of sexuality within our relationships and different types of relationships and just respecting and having boundaries. And I think that will be an awesome topic. I don't know about next week because I have so much coming up with the class that I'm teaching, but when I get a chance, I really do want to talk about the importance of being a sexual person and expressing it in your relationship and intimate relationship. So that being said, we're coming to the end of the show. I'm so glad you guys hung in there with me today. I am going to tell you a little bit about, real quickly, about the fit community that is opening as of May the 1st. And what I really want you guys to know is that I'm excited. I feel that it's going to be an awesome opportunity for every single woman who joins, because you will get such a array of services as well as the community itself. I have I and one of the other coaches have been putting together some awesome group activities that I know you're going to enjoy, that I feel very strongly will help you to have a healthier self and really just get ready for an exciting, exciting community that will continue to grow, because I know that up in my heart, because it's something that we need in terms of supporting each other and supporting women, specifically supporting each other. So again, the membership is annual membership fee for women only. You have to be 18 or older. There's no refund, but you can cancel at any time so that you won't be charged for an additional year. But I'm so certain that you'll enjoy it that you won't want to cancel, because what you'll be getting is so many different resources in terms of articles, all audio, videos. I'm going to be doing trainings, different wellness webinars. Each and every single one of you will get at least one coaching session with a coach, myself, or another coach here at the center. You'll also have a monthly group coaching with me. It's just so much stuff that you'll get within this community for the amount. And I did finally release, if you got a chance to visit the page. The page again is www.rsdevelopment.org. I did finally release the prices. Regular membership annually, you'll be paying $97, which is literally less than I charge for one coaching session. And then if you're a student, because I really felt strongly about this setting being for students and getting support in some of that transition into adult life, if you're a student, it's actually $47, which is awesome, because really you're paying less than $50 for a service that probably, if I really broke down the cost, would be quadruple that amount. So I want you guys to get excited. I am going to have a pre-sale starting on April the 15th, which is actually this Friday. Starting Friday the 15th, I'm going to have a pre-sale where I'm actually going to offer both memberships with $7 off the annual price. So if it's $97, you'll pay $90. If it's $47, you'll pay $40. That membership or that pre-sale will run from the 15th to the 30th. So again, get excited, get ready. I am extremely excited. I have the first coach up and going. I'm hoping that I can interview or talk to another young lady within the next few weeks to be able to get her ready and going for our coaching. So, again, visit the page. It's www.rsdevelopment.org. And if you have any questions, feel free to email that's listed on that website. And I hope you guys have an enjoyable rest of the week. Be well, people.